Statement of facts. Prosecution case. Liliana Rosario is appellant's wife. At the time of trial, she was 27 years old. Veronica Bernal is a friend of Liliana's and her husband a friend of appellant's. The Bernals used to live in the same apartment complex on East Compton Boulevard as the Rosarios. Appellant's 14-year-old brother, Pedro, moved in with the Rosarios, but Liliana could not remember when. Liliana has epilepsy, but could not remember if she had a seizure in 2003 or how often she has seizures. When she had seizures, Liliana would fall down or fall against furniture or the wall. Reporter's transcript 632, 636 to 639, 701, 712 to 713, 715 to 716. After Christmas 2002, Liliana could not leave the apartment. She did not have keys to go out, and an appellant took the keys and telephone with him when he left. Appellant chained Liliana's hands and feet before he went to work in the morning, chaining her hands behind her and sometimes chaining her legs together. He locked the chain to the bars on the kitchen window, locking her inside the apartment from 10 a.m. until he came home around 7 p.m. Liliana did not have access to food or a bathroom during that time, and there was no bucket for her to use if she needed to relieve herself. The windows were left open for fresh air, and the television was left on. She could not stand. Appellant put a blanket on the kitchen floor for her to lie on. Appellant told Liliana he chained her because she had gone to bed with his brother and his friends. Sometimes the front door would also be chained. It was kept locked on the outside. Liliana asked appellant not to chain her up, but appellant said no. Reporter's transcript 640 to 646, 648 to 649, 688 to 689, 701 to 702. When appellant came home and unchained Liliana, he hit her and cut her. He cut her with a knife and an ice pick and hit her with a bottle and a hammer. He cut her head, hands, legs, and knees. One day he kicked her in the mouth while wearing his boots, knocking out her teeth. Every day he hit her in the face and his ring cut her lip. Liliana cut appellant because he wanted to have sex. He would cut her, then heal her with oxygenated water and alcohol. Appellant did not want vaginal intercourse, just anal. Liliana would refuse, and appellant would say he was going to kill her. Typically, they would be on the bed, appellant hugging and kissing Liliana and telling her to get on all four. Appellant would pick up a knife and tell Liliana that if she did the bathroom, he would kill her. Appellant would put a toothbrush in Liliana's anus to force clean it. This was painful. Once when Liliana defecated on appellant, he hit her and made her suck his penis so she would eat my own stuff. After sex, appellant would drag Liliana by the hair and put her in a cold water bath, then tie her hands and feet and kick her in the belly. This occurred every day. Reporter's transcript 649 to 658, 726 to 727, 731 to 733. In April, Liliana was missing part of one of her fingernails. As appellant was hitting her in the head with an ice pick, she put up her hand and he hit her in the fingernail. At one point after Christmas 2002, appellant hit Liliana on the head several times with the claw of a hammer and burned her belly and back with boiling water on three other occasions. She was burned on top of her forehead when appellant hit her. She got a bump and appellant put a sock soaked in hot water on the bump. Reporter's transcript 662 to 666, 678 to 679. Appellant also burned Liliana's vagina with cigarettes and burned her buttocks with a lighter. He once covered her mouth with gauze. She woke up when she felt his hand over her mouth, then felt dizzy, couldn't breathe, and passed out. He sometimes covered Liliana's mouth with his hand to keep her from screaming. Liliana would shout to get help, but no one responded. Reporter's transcript 671 to 676, 718 to 719. At the time of trial, Liliana was still afraid of appellant. She no longer loves him. Reporter's transcript 676, 679 to 684, 690, 696 to 697, 700 to 701, 716 to 717, 723 to 724, 727 to 729. On April 23, 2003, police responded to an assault call at the apartment. Appellant and his brother were taken to the station to be questioned. Appellant was not a suspect and was not handcuffed, but the officers wanted to get away from the apartment, which was to be more thoroughly searched, and there was a crowd forming at the scene. Detective Will Escalante showed appellant photographs of his wife's injuries and asked appellant if those were the injuries he'd seen. Appellant said they were. Escalante thought appellant was kind of a little stoic, kind of crying, but not really crying. A kid's cry, fake, no tears. Reporter's transcript 489 to 492, 505 to 508, 522 to 523, 527 to 528. Escalante asked appellant if he thought the injuries were accidental. Appellant said they weren't. They seemed more like torture. Reporter's transcript 492 to 493. During the interview, appellant referred to his wife as that meta, or that woman, or esa muchacha, that girl. He did not call her Liliana or his wife. Reporter's transcript 493 to 495, 504 to 505. Escalante decided appellant was a suspect. Appellant was arrested and handcuffed and advised of his Miranda rights. After obtaining a waiver, Escalante asked appellant if he had lied and why. Reporter's transcript 495 to 498, 502 to 503, 509, 519 to 520. Appellant said he lied because he was scared. He noticed his wife's injuries on Saturday. She had been hurt during an epileptic seizure. He didn't take her to the hospital right away because he was scared. Escalante asked appellant about some screwdrivers and sticks and a padlock the police found outside appellant's bedroom window. Appellant said he'd thrown them out because he was scared. He didn't want the police to think anything bad. Escalante asked appellant about blood spots in certain areas of the house and a bloody rag found in a plastic bag in the dumpster. Appellant said he'd cut himself, cleaned the apartment, and thrown away the rag. Escalante did not see any cuts on appellant's hand. Appellant said he had once chained his wife to the bed and once chained the door shut from the outside. He chained his wife to the bed because he thought she was seeing someone else, and chained the front door because his wife was afraid and felt safer that way. Appellant was very cooperative during questioning. Reporter's transcript 498 to 501, 509, 512, 514 to 516, 519. A search of the Rosario's department disclosed a kitchen knife with a broken blade, standard chrome chains, a car cigarette lighter, duct tape, and various screwdrivers. The chains were wrapped around the window frame next to the front door with a padlock. Outside the apartment, a white bedspread and some used bandages were recovered from the dumpster. The apartment smelled like rotten flesh. Reporter's transcript 912, 918 to 920, 922 to 924, 936 to 940. Veronica Bernal and her husband used to live in the same apartment complex as the Rosarios. Veronica said Liliana was a friend, but not a friend, because she's not all there. She's like a little kid. Veronica never actually saw Liliana. She talked to her through the front door, and they passed things like movies through the window bars. Liliana's face and head were always bruised. She told Veronica she had epilepsy and would fall and hurt herself. Veronica never saw appellant hit Liliana. Reporter's transcript 942, 949 to 956, 980 to 983, 987 to 988, 991 to 993, 1011 to 1017. On Sunday, April 29th, appellant called Veronica and asked if she could check on his wife because she looked pretty bad. Veronica arrived at the apartment around 4 p.m. Appellant opened the door. Liliana was lying down wearing the same clothes she'd been wearing when Veronica last saw her 3 or 4 days earlier. Appellant seemed sad and was trying to comfort Liliana. Liliana showed Veronica the cuts on her face and arms. Liliana could hardly breathe. Appellant told Veronica three men had broken in and beaten Liliana. Veronica told appellant the men did not try to beat his wife, they tried to kill her. Veronica is a nurse. Appellant asked Veronica if she could help Liliana without taking her to a hospital. Veronica told appellant to go get some bandages and a Vicks nose inhaler, taking Liliana to her house after appellant left. Veronica told Liliana she needed to take a bath because she smelled really bad. She helped Liliana undress. Liliana was yellow and purple and stiff and could not lift her leg over the edge of the tub. Liliana was in pain. She would grab her head and say, "Bad hurt." After the bath, Veronica put perfume and lotion on Liliana to put down the smell and saw her scars. Veronica gave Liliana some Motrin, and Liliana slept for about an hour, jerking as she slept because she couldn't breathe. Reporter's transcript 936 to 966, 992. As Liliana was sleeping, the odor came back stronger, smelling like death. Veronica has been in a morgue. When appellant returned, Veronica told him Liliana was getting worse. Appellant looked sad. He rubbed Liliana's head as she cried. He was very sensitive to her, trying to feed her. Liliana went back to sleep for another half an hour. Then Veronica moved her to the bedroom. 15 minutes later, Veronica went to check on her, and it looked as if she was going yellow and purple. Liliana moved. Veronica asked what was wrong. Liliana said she couldn't feel her legs. Veronica asked if she was going stiff, and Liliana said yes. Veronica told Liliana and appellant that Liliana had to go to the hospital. Appellant said that was fine, but first they needed to go to Pope Street and arrest the man who hurt Liliana so he couldn't get away. Appellant and Liliana told Veronica to tell the police that three men broke in on Friday and beat and sexually abused Liliana. Reporter's transcript 966 to 970. At Pope Street, Veronica called the police in an ambulance. The police arrived and arrested someone. Appellant looked at the man very angrily, and the man asked why appellant was doing this to him. The man and his wife were crying. Reporter's transcript 971 to 973. A forensic nurse testified that she examined appellant's wife on April 30th, 2003. Liliana was in the intensive care unit on a ventilator and was non-responsive. Liliana had multiple sutures on her face, including lacerations on her forehead, nose, and above the left lip. There were multiple abrasions on her forehead and bruises on her face. Certain abrasions appeared consistent with burn marks. She was missing teeth. She had multiple lacerations, bruises, and what appeared to be stab wounds up and down her arm on both sides. One of her fingers was swollen and part of the nail was missing. On her front upper torso, Liliana had two bruises mid-chest, one on each breast, another bruise on the outer side of her left breast, and what looked like scratch marks on her chest. She had a bruise on her abdomen and two surgical bandages on her abdomen, one of which had a Jackson Brat drain. The legs had multiple scabbed abrasions and multiple puncture wounds. All her extremities were very swollen, and serous fluid was oozing out. One shin wound was cut and bruised, and tissue was coming out of the laceration. There was multiple bruising and mottling from the bruises. There was an open wound on the top of Liliana's head that was oozing pus. There was parietal drainage and bleeding. There were scars on her upper shoulders that appeared to be burn marks and a scar that looked like an X on her mid-back. She had multiple bruises and abrasions on her back and a long bruise on her side, running from her upper shoulder blade to her hip that also included multiple healed old laceration marks. There were multiple circular scars, multiple fresh scratches, and an open wound along her left buttocks, and a puncture wound and round circular scars on her left hip. On the right buttocks, there were multiple scratches, small circular and linear bruising with abrasions and an end scratched into the skin. The tops of her feet were bruised and her toes were blue. The nurse testified the injuries occurred over more than a day's time, giving the variation in healing. Some injuries were newly pink, showing no granulation. Some were scabbed, some appeared pink and freshly unscabbed, and some were old scars. Reporter's transcript 604 to 606, 609 to 613, 616 to 621, 625 to 629. A genital examination was performed. Visualization was difficult due to the redness and swelling to the hymen and redness to the vulva area. Liliana's vaginal walls were very red, and she had a lot of yellowish-greenish secretions. There appeared to be blunt force trauma injuries, and she had multiple tears around her anus due to blunt force trauma, though there was no way of telling whether the anus had been penetrated or whether anal or vaginal activity was voluntary or involuntary. Liliana's vagina and her body as a whole gave off a very foul odor, like walking into a morgue. Reporter's transcript 621 to 623, 625 to 627. Defense case. Heriberto Hernandez was the manager of the apartment complex the Rosarios lived in. From December 2002 to April 2003, Hernandez saw Liliana outside the building three or four times a week throwing away garbage. He also saw her turn the car to warm the motor three or four times a week, though she did not drive. Very rarely, Hernandez saw Pellin and Liliana return from the market with grocery bags or Liliana talking to Veronica. Two or three times from April 2002 to April 2003, he saw Liliana by the mailbox. Hernandez would say hello to Liliana, and she would greet him back. Liliana would wear pants, sunglasses, and long-sleeved shirts. She was kind of shy and would walk quickly to and from the bin, not speaking to anyone else. Hernandez sometimes saw big bruises on Liliana's face. Reporter's transcript 1036, 1038 to 1058, 1060 to 1062. Dante Mejia lived in the complex while the Rosarios were there. He did not see anything unusual near or at their apartment. A few Mexican guys came through on three different days. One day, Mejia saw a dark-skinned man come through the complex's front gate using a key. Mejia followed the man to see where he was going. As the man was walking towards the area of the apartment, he noticed Mejia, turned, exited by the gate, got in his car, and left. 2 days later, the same man returned in a different car, coming through the gate again. Again, Mejia followed him. It looked as if the man saw the apartment manager, then turned, leaving again by the gate and driving away. 2 days later, the man returned for a third time. He opened the gate, didn't see Mejia, and he and another man went to either apartment 14 or 15. One of them had a key to that apartment, and they stayed less than 5 minutes. Appellant's uncle, Eduardo Trujillo, testified Appellant and Liliana lived with him for 4 or 5 weeks in 2002, and Appellant behaved very well towards Liliana at that time, as she did to him. Reporter's transcript 12:12 to 12:14. Appellant testified Liliana has the mentality of a small child. So Appellant had to take care of her and always be by her side. Liliana liked to watch cartoons and eat soup. Because of her mind, Liliana kept the telephone nearby as she made the soup so she could call her mother for instructions. In February 2003, she burned herself on the belly making soup. Sometimes at the end of February, beginning of March, Liliana had an epilepsy attack while Appellant was with Veronica's sister. He was hanging with Ramona. It was nothing serious. He was human and made a mistake. Reporter's transcript 1260 to 1261, 1280. Appellant's brother Pedro came to the motel and told Appellant paramedics had taken Liliana to the hospital. Appellant went to the hospital. The doctor told him he had to take very good care of Liliana because she could lose her life as she was vomiting a lot. The doctor said Liliana had suffered a great blow. Liliana hit her head frequently. Reporter's transcript 1215 to 1223, 1258 to 1259, 1261, 1301, 1318 to 1319. Liliana's mother also saw her daughter almost every Sunday. Either she would come by the apartment or they would pick her up at Liliana's sister's house in Linwood. When Liliana's mother visited, they would go buy soup, then watch a movie at home. Liliana and her mother would also go out to wash the icebox. Almost every Sunday, they went to the swap meet and went to church in Linwood every Sunday without fail. Liliana participated in the mass, taking the host and going to confession. Reporter's transcript 1224 to 1228, 1231 to 1233, 1262 to 1264, 1283 to 1284, 1301, 1303. Liliana could not work because of her illness, so Appellant was responsible for all the bills. He worked every day and sometimes went out with his uncle after work. Appellant left money for Liliana. They also had a piggy bank because they wanted to have a son and a collection of $2 bills. In the morning, merchants came to the area to sell tamales and campanero. Others sold corn and chitarrones in the afternoon. Liliana liked to go out and buy campanero and chitarrones. She had her own key to the apartment. Reporter's transcript 1232 to 1235, 1280 to 1283, 1301, 1318. On several occasions, Appellant returned from work to find Liliana had injured herself, most commonly on the head. Once there was an injury on her forehead, once on the back of the head. Appellant tended the wounds and told Liliana to lie on the bed if she began to feel ill, but she would not do as she was told because she had a girl's mind. Appellant never saw any injuries on Liliana's arms, hands, or legs from her seizures, though Liliana knocked a tooth out at the end of April when she fell. Appellant and Liliana wanted to have a baby together. They had vaginal relations with love. Appellant would hug, kiss, and caress Liliana, and she would respond. Appellant never forced Liliana to have sex. It was an act based on love. Reporter's transcript 1236 to 1241, 1261, 1265, 1317. On April 25th, appellant did not get home until about 11 p.m. When he arrived that night, his wife was asleep. Liliana went to bed at 9 p.m. because of her epilepsy. Liliana was covered up but did not seem to be having problem breathing. She smelled kind of strange. The next morning, appellant left at 8 o'clock to work with his uncle. Liliana was still asleep. When appellant came home around 10 that night, Liliana was asleep. Appellant thought it was strange that she was sleeping in a sweatshirt and asked if she was feeling well. Liliana said she felt ill, like she was getting a fever. Appellant asked if she wanted tea or a pill. Liliana said she wanted to rest, so appellant let her go back to sleep. Reporter's transcript, 1243 to 1245, 1284 to 1288, 1313 to 1314. That Sunday, appellant woke about 11 a.m. It was very hot, which made it seem strange that Liliana was wearing a sweatshirt and had the covers on. Because she told him she hadn't been feeling well, appellant moved Liliana and saw that the injury to her forehead was cracked open, her teeth were broken, her nose was cut open, and she was now missing two teeth. The injuries were fresh. Surprised, appellant asked Liliana what happened. She said she'd fallen because of her epilepsy, but appellant didn't believe her. He tried calming her down, told her he'd be back, and went to get bandages and gauze, alcohol, and oxygenated water. He came back, tended to her wounds, and urged her to tell him who had done this to her. Reporter's transcript, 1245 to 1248, 1287 to 1291, 1300, 1313, 1321 to 1322. Liliana wouldn't tell appellant, so he called Veronica, who was a nurse. Appellant left Veronica to talk to Liliana and take care of her injuries. When appellant returned 2 hours later with bandages and gauze, the women were gone. Veronica had left a note saying she'd taken Liliana home to bathe her. Appellant went to Veronica's house and saw Liliana was black and blue. Her legs were swollen and she was having problems breathing. Veronica told appellant about the attackers and said she would take care of Liliana's wounds. Appellant said he thought it would be better to take Liliana to the hospital. Reporter's transcript, 1248 to 1252, 1259, 1291 to 1298, 1315 to 1316, 1318 to 1319. Appellant carried Liliana to the car, told Veronica to call the police and ambulance, then went to the house of one of the three attackers. Appellant wanted to take him out, but the sheriffs calmed him down. At the hospital, appellant told his wife to have faith in God, that everything would be all right, and that he loved her very much. Reporter's transcript, 1252, 1254 to 1256, 1298, 1309 to 1310. Appellant never chained his wife while he was at work. The chains were for a pit bull they once owned. He never padlocked his wife inside the apartment, preventing her from leaving. He never heard her call out for help at the window or door. If she had, someone in the 25 surrounding apartments would have come or called the police. He never cut her with a knife, hit her with a fist or a hammer claw, burned her with hot water, kicked her with boots, hit her on the back of the head, carved an N into her buttocks, or forced her to have anal sex. He did not cause any of the injuries to Liliana. She was his wife, and he loved her. Reporter's transcript, 1257 to 1262, 1265, 1271 to 1272, 1311 to 1313, 1315, 1317.